The only instruction we knew before this was that they weren't to eat of the fruit, and that was the only law there was at that time. And what did they do? They ate of the fruit. So anyway, I'm sure there were other things given to them, and they were going against what the Lord told them to do. Anyway, in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. So that's still a pretty long time, isn't it? And if you read, there was a lot of people that were a lot older than that. And I hope I don't make it that long, but you know, I'll take whatever the Lord gives me, and hopefully still be teaching Sunday school if I can. And if I can't, I'll be listening to Sunday school. But he's not pleased. God is not pleased with the things that man is doing. Look at all that God had provided for him and everything, and yet he said he's not going to always deal with man. He's not going to strive with man. Man has rebelled against God from the very beginning. And people seem to think, you know, well, a loving God, and true he is to his children. But he's also a just God, and sin must be punished. Anyway, verse 5 of Genesis chapter 6 says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Now, that doesn't mean that God actually repented making man, but it caused him sorrow. And like when one of his children is not doing what they should do, I'm sure that causes them sorrow. But anyway, he said, I'm going to wipe them all out. And verse 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, Noah, it's going to say, you know, he's a pretty good guy and everything like that. But that's not what caused Noah to be chosen of the Lord to do this thing that we're going to be talking about today. What is the cause of that? Verse 8 says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. We are saved by grace through faith. And grace goes from the beginning of the Bible all the way to the end. Without God's grace, we're doomed. Anyway, verse 13, and God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Now, I know I skipped a few verses. I already told you we're going to be skipping around a lot this morning. So, he said, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence. Now, look at our country today. I'd venture to say that our country is filled with violence. You hear about these atrocities every day, just about, you know. And he says, I will destroy them with the earth. So everything's going to be gone. And he tells Noah in verse 14, make thee an ark of gopher wood, room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch, and this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. The window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof. With lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. So not only did Noah find grace in the eyes of the Lord, he was given instructions on how to make it. This is what you do. Now, I have read, and this really has nothing to do with the lesson this morning, that they still fashion boats, large ships, of the same dimensions, same proportions as far as length and width and height is concerned. But anyway, also I want you to notice a window shalt thou make to the ark. And you know, the window is up here, up over top. And the door of the ark is on the side of the boat. Why is that? So you can get the animals on there. And it's going to be 3 stories tall. And verse 17, after all that, he says, "And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life, from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die." So, no exceptions here. And I've heard people say, "Well, this is how the dinosaurs became extinct." And no, he was told to bring all of them onto the ark. I have mixed feelings about dinosaurs. The Bible talks about behemoth. I don't know if that's talking about elephants, which some people have told me that's what it means, and or just something really large. You know, if something is a behemoth, it's a big thing. It's like humongous. We had a brother that came and stayed for a good while over here from New Guinea, named Lucky, and I told him one time, I said, that is humongous. I don't remember what it was, but I said, "Humongous." And he said, "What is humongous?" And I said, "Think of the biggest thing you can think of." Okay, I said, "Humongous is bigger than that." So, these dimensions, they say, weren't enough, weren't big enough to put all the animals in there. Now, I want to remind these people that say this isn't good enough, that can't work, this isn't possible. God is still in charge. God is in control. It was plenty big. It was big enough for the animals. It was big enough for the food for them. It was big enough. And it got the job done. You know how I know? Because we're here. Okay, verse 18, "But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee, and of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female, of fowls after their kind and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind. Two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive." Now we're going to stop there and do another jump here. He gives them instructions. Now, why two of every kind, male and female? And we have a lot of people nowadays saying, well, you know, there's hundreds of genders. And if you read about God creating man, it says male and female created he them. There's two. That's it. You can come up with any number you want to, but that's what God says. So I'll take his word for it. Anyway, now in chapter 7, verse 1, "And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation." I told you we was going to get to this. Now, was Noah actually righteous in himself? No. But he trusted the Lord, just like Abraham. And we're not going to get to Abraham today. I'll tell you that right now, because this is going to be the last study here for a while. We'll be back in Romans, hopefully next week, if I remember. And somebody can call me up on the phone or something and remind me to bring my notes. But anyway, the Lord said unto Noah, "Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens." So it's not just two of each one. Of the clean beast, there would be seven pairs. Not seven animals, because that don't work out with a two, right? It's seven pairs. "Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female." So two pairs of unclean, seven pairs of clean beasts were to be taken in. And that's a whole lot more than most people think. Everybody thinks, you know, you see the little picture where there's two giraffes and there's two elephants and two alligators and two lions and two sheep. No, that's not what it was. If you're going to be studying God's Word, you listen to what it says. It says all these things, and it's a little bit hard to remember some of them. I understand that. Believe me, I understand about not remembering, because I forgot my lesson. But anyway, it goes on, verse 3, "Of fowls also the air by sevens, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth." Yeah, he was wiping everything out, but he was going to keep seed alive on the earth. We get what, I don't know whether you'd call it a second chance or whatever it is, but you know, a whole lot of people didn't. Only those that the Lord chose. And we have people nowadays, an awful lot, well, probably the vast majority, don't believe that God chooses. And you go through the Bible, and God always chooses. Always. What does man always choose? Man always chooses to rebel against God. Anyway, verse 11 of chapter 7 says, "In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights." Now, people have trouble thinking of a guy and his three sons building an ark. But this guy here, apparently had finished it and got the animals and everything. He's 600 years old. I'm 72. I couldn't build an ark with an army. So I'm sure God helped him. I'm sure he finish things for them. Give them knowledge that they didn't have before, that they could do these things. But after that, it says the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up. So water came up from below, and the windows of heaven were open. So water came down from above. Now, many people talk about an apron, or not an apron, an umbrella of water, a layer of water It talks about in Genesis 1, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I can't say for a fact that this is what it is, but there's a shroud of water that surrounded the earth, supposedly. I believe it's probably true, because 40 days and 40 nights would, unless it was a torrential downpour, but it had never rained before. So where was all the water? It was either up here or it was down here, and it says the water was released from down below and up above both. So it came from both directions. And the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. In the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with him into the ark. They and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, every bird of every sort. And they went in unto Noah into the ark, two and two, of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. They went in unto Noah. I don't think he had to stand out there and swat the cattle or anything like that. It says they went in to him. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. It didn't say Noah shut the doors, did it? No, God shut the doors. You know, God's in control. If you look at Lot, and Sodom and Gomorrah, and all of his troubles and things like that, they basically had to drag him out of the city. So God takes care of his, and he shut the door so nothing could happen to them. They were sealed in there, safe in the ark. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lifted up above the earth. So it, I believe he made this ark on dry ground. First of all, because I don't think they knew how to make boats in the water at that time. But I think he made it on dry ground, and as water came up, it lifted it up from off the dry ground. And the waters prevailed, verse 18, and the waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth, and the ark went up, went upon the face of the waters, and the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. So the mountains and the hills and everything was covered. And there are people that say, well, what's these things? So where you got little animals trapped in the mud and stuff like that. Yeah, fossils. There's find fossils high up on mountains and stuff like that. And they say, see, that's proof. You know what's proof? God said it happened. That's better than finding a fossil. He said that's what happened. That's all we need to know. Verse 20, 15 cubits upward did the water prevail, and the mountains were covered. Everything. Nothing left. I don't know how long the people there lasted. But I'm pretty sure they were pretty sorry for what they had done. Well, actually, probably not sorry for what they had done. They're sorry they were getting punished for it. There's many things throughout the Bible that says if you do this, this is what's going to happen. And people don't believe it. God is in control. God is in charge. And one thing we do know, that God's promise is sure. His promise to us, his children, is for good. The promise to the people that reject Christ, it's bad. All right, verse 21. And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beast, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man, and all in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land, died. So there wasn't a one. Only those in the ark. Now, I heard Jesus referred to as the ark. And if you're in Jesus, yeah, you have safety from the storm, for one thing. And, well, for another thing, you're going to get to be with him forever. And that's what I look forward to. I don't care about walking on streets of gold. What difference does it make whether it's black top like out front here or gold? It's something to walk on. Who but God can make gold into paving material? Anyway, chapter 8 and verse 1. And God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. Okay. Now, God didn't forget Noah. But he, I don't know exactly how to explain it, you know. It's time. God's purpose had been accomplished. All those that had died, the people that had trespassed against the Lord died. All the animals and everything except in the ark died. And it says God remembered Noah. I'm going to do what I said I was going to do. And every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark, and God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. So God uses the wind even. You remember what happened to the Egyptians when Israel left and they went through the sea? God blew, and everybody thinks like the movie, where the water just rolled back and they walked right across. No, he blew wind on it and dried up the land, so they walked across on dry land. And I don't know if you ever watched that movie, but it shows little puddles and things like that. I don't think there was any puddles. I think it was just dry ground there. And they walked across it. And here he's using the wind to dry up the flood. Verse 2, the fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained. Okay, so we don't have that umbrella anymore, if indeed it was there. And all the fountains of the deep, they were stopped. So, anyway, verse 3, and the waters returned from off the earth continually, and after the end of 150 days, the waters were abated. 150 days. Now, that was some flood. I've been over where I live. There used to be, the highway used to be lower than it is now, and from time to time, we would get flooded in. Not close to the house or anything like that, but the highway leading to where I live would be flooded, and we couldn't get out. Nothing like this. Nothing like this. Remember, this covered the mountains. I don't know how tall Mount Everest and Mount McKinley and all these mountains, I don't know how tall they are, but they're pretty tall. And I doubt if you went up there on the top of one of them mountains and you looked down, I wonder how many bazillion, trillion, whatever, gillion gallons of water that would take. And God provided the water for it. Anyway, after 150 days, the wind and had dried up all the water, and the waters were abated. Anyway, verse 6, and it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark, which he had made, because the Lord told him to. He opened the window, and he sent forth a raven, which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. And he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. So the raven went out, and he found plenty of things to eat, all the dead animals and the dead people and stuff like that. So he didn't have to worry about any food or anything like that. But when the dove went out, verse 9, but the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him into the ark, for the waters were upon the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her in unto him into the ark. So the dove went out and didn't find any place to light yet. Still, the water was still there. This is going back a little bit in time from when the waters were abated. But anyway, verse 10, and he stayed yet other 7 days, and again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came in to him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. Now, why would he wonder about that? Now, you remember there was one window. And where did that window go? It went up. He couldn't look down to see if there was any water down there. And he sent the raven out. Of course, the raven, he would get fat and sassy. He had plenty to eat. The dove went out. I can't even find a place to light. So she came back. Why is that? You know, when they're talking about the raven going out, you use the male connotation. You know, he ate all these dead people and stuff. But when the dove went out, she came back and brought the little leaf. I don't know why that is. I think people think that girls are better than guys. Don't believe it. It's not true. Anyway, she brought in an olive leaf plucked off. You know, you would think, you know, well, 150 days, that's not long enough for an olive tree to grow. I mean, because he killed every living thing. Trees are living things. You know what? God's in control. And he stayed yet other 7 days and sent forth the dove, which returned not again unto him anymore. Plenty of places for the dove to land. And it came to pass in the 600th and the first year, in the first month, in the first day of the month, the waters were dried up from off the earth, and Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. He finally got to look down, and it was all dry. In the second month, on the 7th and 20th day of the month, was the earth dried. And verse 15, and God spake unto Noah, saying, go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee, of all flesh, both of fowl and of cattle, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth, and be fruitful, and multiply upon the earth. And Noah went forth, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him, every beast, every creeping thing, and every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth after their kind, went forth out of the ark. So God kept his promise. He wiped out everything except what was in the ark, which is what he promised. And he said, okay, turn them all out. I want them to replenish the earth, whatever, creep. Anyway, go forth and verse 17. They may breed abundantly in the earth and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. So it's kind of starting from scratch, right? Okay, well. All this was done because man couldn't follow God's law. Anyway, was Noah happy? I believe he was. I believe that if he was the kind of man that the Bible called him, that he knew that this judgment was a just judgment. And what does he do? First thing after they get off the ark, verse 20. And Noah built an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. He's not going to do it again. Anyway, in chapter 9, and beginning with verse 8. And God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, Behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you. You know who the seed after them is? That's us. It comes all the way down from Noah. And with every living creature that is with you. So it's not just us, it's the animals. Every living thing. Of the fowl, of the cattle, of every beast of the earth, with you, from all that go out of the ark, to every beast of the earth, and I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more from by the waters of a flood, neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. So God gave man another promise. And so we can be sure that there's never going to be another flood like this. Now there's what I would call little floods. I mean, I guess if you're in the middle of it, you wouldn't think it's a little flood. But, you know, it's not anything that would destroy the earth or all life upon the earth. But he says, not for the whole thing. Never again. In verse 12 of chapter 9, and God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations, forever. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass, when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. So God put a rainbow in the sky. Now, there are some people now that have taken God's rainbow and put other connotations on it. And, you know, you can call a rainbow something else, and that doesn't make it something else. That just means that you're wrong. It's a sign of God's covenant with every living creature. Verse 17, and God said unto Noah, this is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. And the sons of Noah that went forth of the ark were Shem and Ham and Japheth, and Ham is the father of Canaan. These are the three sons of Noah, and of them were the whole earth overspread. Out of these people, these few people, all of the men and women and the children on the face of the earth are descendants of. So God's purpose was carried out, and we're not going to go into Noah's drunkenness or everything like that. This is as far as we're going to go, but you need to understand God is able to save, and he's also able to destroy. If he is not your Savior, if you are not one of his children, then you're looking toward judgment as the whole earth. And he is not lax concerning his promise. He promises us wonderful things. If you're not one of his children, he promises you something too. And he will keep his promise. So anyway, that's the end of our lessons today. And hopefully I'll remember to bring my notes, and we can be back in Romans chapter 10 next week. Anyway, y'all stick around. In about 5 minutes or so, the pastor's going to have a great message.